I believe that God has a word for me right now. Now throw your heads back and shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We are so grateful to you, Lord. Yes. With your Bibles in your hands, hallelujah. Let's open up to Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 to 16. When you get there, let's all stand, glory to God, as we show reverence to the word of the Lord. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 to 16. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 to 16. Starting in verse 13, Paul is writing to the believers in Philippi. And Paul says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the inward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore," everybody shout, "therefore." "Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you." Verse 16, "Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." Let's pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for another year. We thank you, Lord, that the same God who was with us last year, we're believing and knowing to be the same God to be with us today. And so, Father, we know that your word is rich and we know that your word is powerful. And so, Lord, and we know it's blessed. And so, Lord, use your word today to be an encouragement to the believers. And we also pray, God, that you would use your word today to draw those that may not believe, that they might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in the pardoning of their sins. Father, we thank you for giving us a mind, but today, Lord, help us in the name of Jesus Christ. With this mind, help us to receive this word. We know, Lord, that you've given us a will, but today, Lord, help us to do what this word says. Father, fill me now with your spirit that I might preach and teach your word under your anointing power. And so, Lord, we thank you in advance because we believe by faith that the word will accomplish its mission in this place today. So, Lord, we thank you and we honor you, Lord, and we give your name the praise. For it is in the precious and glorious name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And we say together as one family of God, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise. You all may be seated. Hallelujah. I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to say to your neighbor, don't lose focus.
Don't lose focus.
Turn to your other neighbor and say, don't lose focus.
Don't lose focus.
I'm telling you, all of the experiences that happen in the life of a Christian, if we be honest with ourselves, sometimes, depending on how severe or how difficult or how challenging the situation is, sometimes we get caught up in the blur where we want to see clearly, but we're so challenged by the distractions that we don't see clearly the way that God is directing us or calling us to. Welcome to the arrival of another year. And in this arrival, in this new year, the same God that moved us through situations last year, we've got to trust to be the same God to do it this year. Some of us in here this morning tried to do it our own way, in our own hands, do it ourselves last year. And the truth is, I'm going to tell you something. I was sitting next to Sister Ann, and we were talking early on when I got to church. And I'm telling you the God honest truth. The truth is, if you're sick and you stay home and don't go to the hospital, you ain't going to get no better. And for the believer, if you are trying to work through your difficulties and work through your challenges, but yet you are not in fellowship with the people of God and you're not sitting under the word, you're just staying home. I'm telling you, just like last year, when it didn't get no better, it ain't going to get no better this year. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, don't lose your focus.
Don't lose your focus.
As much as we are believers and are called to walk in the will of God for our lives, as much as we are called to do that, in some cases we are equally being drawn away from that. And so our desire as believers is to do what God has called us to do, while at the same time we're being distracted and pulled away from fellowship, pulled away from the Word of God, so that we do what we think is right instead of doing what is righteous before God. Can I walk down Main Street this morning? I believe there is still more that God wants to do in the life of the person who puts their trust in Him and who believes what He's able to. I still believe that no problem becomes greater than the Christian who walks in the power of God. I still believe that there's no situation that can happen in the life of a Christian that ought to keep us out of fellowship first with God and then keep us out of fellowship with one another. Don't lose your focus. We must be reminded of what the Apostle Paul declares in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we are ambassadors for Christ. Hallelujah. As though God were pleading through us. Paul said, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. Amen. And so we're reconciled. But I want you to understand something. God did not reconcile us for us to just be reconciled and nobody else knows who He is. And the truth is, others will know who He is, not simply by what we say, but by really what we do. And so I'm telling you, we can't shout glory to God and hallelujah, but then don't do what this word says. We can't shout glory to God, Lord, you are my way maker. But then when God directs us in a way that does not feel comfortable, we decide that I want to go a different way. God has a plan for us. And God has poured out His plan from the foundation of this earth. He's poured out His plan in our lives. And I'm telling you, I really want us in this year to get back on what God wants us to do. If you have stepped away from it, get back to it. If you have been walking in it, stay focused and don't you move no matter what happens in your life.
That's right. Amen.
Stay focused.
Thank you.
We must get focused if you're not focused. Or stay focused if you are focused. That because being focused is the foundation that makes us complete in Jesus. All of the events that have happened or taken place in your life, you have all had to. We have all had to walk through something. And so I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, look at me, look at me. Do I look scared? Do I look afraid? Do I look worried? Do I look like I couldn't handle it? Do I look like I have fallen short? The truth of the matter is that all of us have had to walk through something. I'm going to say that again. I don't think we got. All of us have had to walk through something. And so the fact that you have walked through something and you're still here means that God's hand is still on your life. And so in 2019, I don't want us to put new wine in some old wineskins. Well, let me help us understand a little better. I don't want us to just put a patch on the hole. Help us, Lord Jesus. If God is able to provide to us something new, you need to stop putting patches on stuff and just accept the reality of what God wants to do to make stuff new in your life. Listen, you can't help them by putting patches on it. A Band-Aid is good, but at some point, if it doesn't heal properly, you've got to go to the doctor to have what? Surgery. And some of us last year just been putting Band-Aids on stuff. And God keeps trying to tell us, I want to do a new thing. And we keep saying, Lord, I'm too old to do something new. God saying, your age ain't nothing but a number. The reality is I want to do something new. Well, Lord, I ain't never done that before. Well, God is into reclaiming what is his. And so that's why the word says that he that has begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, stay focused. Stay focused.
Help us, Father. Help us, Lord.
In the text, Paul directs the believers, despite difficult experiences, to not lose their focus on preaching Christ, but not only preaching Christ, but let your words manifest themselves and live for him. So not only does God want us to preach his message or share his message, he also wants us to live this message. And then when we get tired and get distracted, he wants us to then strive in this message.
Amen.
Two things that Paul encourages us to stay focused on as we move forward in God in this new year. The first thing is, and look at verses 13 and 14. Glory to God. Paul is talking about pressing toward the goal. And he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward. Turn to somebody and say, and reaching forward.
And reaching forward.
First thing that I believe Paul is encouraging us in this text as we move forward in this new year. Paul is encouraging us in this text to stay focused on where God brought you from. See, that's what last year, anything that is in your past is in your past for you to, some things God wants you to forget. See, because the things that you fell short in and sinned in and didn't obey God in, those things God wants you to forget. But those things that you walked in righteousness and you walked in the understanding that God is with you, those things that brought glory to God, that's why your past is your past, because God brings you out of your past into a present and future. So the reality is we can't ever forget about what God did. Amen.
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 See, there are some things in your past that were challenging.
Yeah. Yeah.
But even though they were challenging, you prayed and asked God to move on your behalf, and God moved on those challenging things in your past. And so why would God move on the challenging things in your past and then forget about you now? Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. See, Paul is encouraging the believer to recognize, and see, this is a place of humility, because God is encouraging the believer to recognize that you ain't apprehended it yet. In other words, he's saying, don't you get cute. Don't you think you got it all together. Yeah, you might look good, but you're still a wretch undone. You might think you have it all together, but you're still a mess and you still need me. And so Paul is saying, listen, I'm reaching for it, but I don't have it yet.
Yeah. Right. Right.
So understanding that you don't have it yet.
Jesus.
I love the fact that he says, I do not count myself to have apprehended. And then he says at the end of verse 13, he says, but I'm reaching. So Paul is saying, I haven't nailed this thing down yet. I haven't grabbed hold of it yet, but God is calling to equip me so that I can get it. Amen.
Glory to God.
He says, but I'm not going to let my 2018 experience stop me from moving forward in the present measure of God's grace. Because I want you to understand something this morning. God is still calling you higher.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
I want you to get that doubt out of your mind, get that fear out of your heart. God is still, no matter what you have gone through in 2018, God is still calling you higher. And so stop focusing on your mistakes and start focusing on what God did with you despite, good God Almighty, I feel like I just said something to somebody. The reality is that when you are focused, you understand that what I have gone through is also in place to help take me and to propel me forward where God is calling me to be.
That's right. Amen,
amen. Amen.
See?
God, turn to your neighbor and say, God still has more for me.
Yeah.
Not that I'm not satisfied where I am, because I am satisfied where I am. But however the Lord blesses me in this year, I'm going to be satisfied, because my more is not in my bank account. My more is not in my treasury. My more is not in my family. My more is not on my job. My more is in God. And because my more is in God, then he can pour everything that I need everywhere that I am. Wherever I go, I can receive more, because my more is not in the hand of a man, but my more is in the hands of God.
And so
God is still wanting to move me forward. God is still wanting to take me higher. God is still wanting to process me to the place where I know who I am in him, where I know that my identity calls for me to make a sacrifice for the Lord.
Right.
I'm telling you, the Christians today,
right,
we can barely give up time to come to church, but let alone give up our time for the Lord. How many times have you given your lunch break to God? How many times have you been on your way to work and said, you know what, I should stop for breakfast, but I'm going to fast for my breakfast today because I need God to move in my life in such a way that I'm going to make a sacrifice for him. And see, the reality of it is that many of us as believers, the reason why we lose our focus is because we want God to do for us, but we don't want to be responsible and let that love be reciprocal. See, the truth is, God did die for us. Yes, he did make a way for us. But the reality of it is that when he did that, he didn't do that for us to just sit down and be happy about being saved. He did it so that we could walk in authority, but you can't have authority, beloved, without obedience.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, help us, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, I want it from you, but I don't want to give nothing up. God, I want you to bless me, but I don't want to give you no time. Lord, I want you to move on my situation, but I ain't going to make no sacrifice to do nothing. I want it all from God, but don't want to give God. Listen, in this year, God requires your stuff. It ain't no option. Turn to somebody and say, I'm at the point in my life, it ain't even optional no more. I'm going to give him my money. I'm going to give him my time. I'm going to give him my resources. I'm going to give him everything. Because when I call on him in the midnight hour and I'm on my last leg, God doesn't say, well, I need to think about how I'm going to bless you. No, God does it. Why? Because the relationship to him is important. Turn to somebody and stay focused. Tell them, stay focused. Stay focused.
Thank you, Father. Help us, Lord.
The Apostle Paul, who was a follower and a minister of Jesus Christ, helps us to know and to comprehend why we press. And not only why we press, but what we're pressing for. He says in verse 14, look at it. He says that I press toward the goal or the mark for the prize of the inward call or high call of God that is in Christ Jesus. And so Paul helps us to understand, as believers, we are pressing to grow in our Christian faith. I don't know anybody that is an athlete and don't train. Come on, amen, somebody. I mean, I don't know who your favorite football team is. Eagles, I have no idea who you're rooting for. But I'm telling you right now, if your team did not practice and still showed up for the game, the truth is they would have less of an advantage. Why, Pastor? Because they did not rehearse or practice what the plan was. I don't know a boxer that eat cheeseburgers the whole time they training and don't do no training whatsoever. Eat cheeseburgers and drink all the soda and fries and don't work out, don't do nothing, and then show up at the fight expecting to be ready. But I'm telling you, beloved, for us as believers in 2018, we sat down too much. We sat down with the mentality and our distracted ways that we sat down in distraction thinking that when I get out of this, I'm going to serve God. I'm telling you, sometimes you got to lead while you bleed. Oh, help us, Lord Jesus. Sometimes you got to follow while you in sorrow. And so the reality is that if you are sitting back and not moving in the things of God because you are going through something, let me tell you right now, you ain't going to never come out of it, because when you put your hands to the plow, the word of God says, don't look back. Keep your hands on the plow and keep moving forward in the Lord. I don't care what takes place around you and beside you. See, there are people who are around you who need to see the God in you. But the only way they can see the God in you is you got to operate and live with the God that's in you so that it's visible. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have to understand. Paul said, I'm pressing. I'm pressing to not only achieve the things that the Lord has for you and I while we're here on earth. God also wants us to understand that because we are believers, we have achieved an eternal reward that's part of his promise. Yes, I'm going to heaven when I die. And all of those who are believers, who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you were bought with the blood of Jesus, and so we are going to live for eternity. But I ain't waiting to get to heaven to shout and show people who God is. See, there's some folks who say, you know what, when we all get together, what a joyous day it's going to be. When I get to heaven, I'm going to rejoice. But guess what? You also have his authority and power now. So somebody shout amen. Amen. You see, pressing involves doing some work. Oh, help us, Lord Jesus. Yeah, you ain't pressing if you ain't working. You ain't pressing if you ain't serving. And let me tell you something. If you're serving and you're pressing, but yet you're complaining, you ain't pressing by complaining. The reality is that God does not have a complaint office where you file your complaint with him and say, Lord, I don't like this. Lord, I'm mad about this. Lord, I'm upset about this. A lot of what we struggle with doesn't come from God. It comes from us. Don't blame the devil. Turn to somebody and say, it's your fault. Come on, look at him and tell him, because as believers, we don't ever like to take blame for stuff. But the truth is, a lot of this stuff that you have experienced that did not go the way that you wanted it to go, don't you sit there and blame God. Don't even blame the devil. The reality is, it was your free will choice. Amen. To obey or to disobey. You can throw it on people all you want to. Part of the challenge is for us as believers, God has given us victory, but we like to play the victim so often and say, well, Lord, if they would have just done this, I'd have been all right. Lord, if you would have moved on this, I'd have been all right. You got to believe God to do it when there's no, when you feel like there's no movement.
Amen.
Oh, help us, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
God doesn't stop moving.
Amen.
The problem is we stop believing God can move.
Mm.
And so something God wants to do something greater than money in your life.
Thank you.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
I believe that the Apostle Paul used the word press to emphasize his intention that he was pursuing after something that was greater than money.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
He said, I press.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
That's something greater than a material thing. He said, turn to somebody and say, I'm pressing.
He said,
I press. He said that the goal of the high calling can only be found in Jesus. That's what he said. Look at verse 14. He said, I press toward the goal for the prize of the inward call of God in Christ Jesus. So I want you to understand, you can't get this if you don't have him. You can't get this if you are still struggling whether you're going to believe God or not. You're not going to get this still having challenges with your emotions, because some of us have allowed our emotions to take the place of our faith. I don't feel like it. They have upset me, and so I don't think I can. This thing is faith. This thing is because of faith. This thing is by faith. This thing is engineered in faith. And so in order to stay focused, I can't get so caught up where I'm going that I miss where God has me right now.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Am I preaching to anybody this morning?
Amen.
Because we miss. We're so gullible as believers that we chase after any shiny little thing. We just like little cats. You drag something shiny around, and you know we moving around with it, trying to grab it. And God is saying, "Listen, everything you need, I have already placed on the inside of you." You chasing position, and God said, "I've already given you power." You chasing money, but God said, I've already given you favor.
Yeah.
You chasing stuff, and God has said, I've already given you salvation. And because my name alone speaks the authority of what I have placed in your life, just simply obey and do what I ask you to do and what I direct you to do. If you want success, the Bible talks about good success. And so there's a difference between good success and regular success. You can be successful in life, but not successful in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And that's why he said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Turn to somebody and say, stay focused.
Stay focused. That's right. Amen. Help us, Lord.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Not that I have already obtained it.
Mm-hmm.
Whew.
Jesus.
That means it's still there.
Yeah.
That means it ain't going. Whatever God has planned for you has not moved anywhere. It's right where it's supposed to be. But the delay is not God. It might be you.
Yeah.
He said, not that I already have it. I done prayed for it, and I believe God's going to do it. And it's not that I already have it, but if I just sit still right here and don't do nothing, guess what? There's some things God will bring to you, but there's some things you're going to have to press your way through to get to where God wants you to be.
Jesus.
And so turn to somebody and say, it's a process.
It's a process.
Your healing is a process.
It's a process.
Your deliverance is a process. Your financial blessing is a process, because why would God give it to us? And part of our challenge is God will give it to us, but then we forget who gave it to us. So God said, I want to do this thing. I want to do this thing. So when I do it this time, oh, good God Almighty, when I do it this time, you're going to know who did it. You're going to tell everybody who did it. You're going to glorify my name that I'm the one that did what you have prayed and asked for me to do. But it's a process. It's about your faith growing.
Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Lord.
So turn to somebody and say, Lord, thank you for taking me through the process. I'd have never been where I am if it wasn't for the process. You'd have never been where you are if it wasn't for the mistakes you made. Because I still believe that God can still do all things, work all things together for them that love him and who are the called according to his purpose. Second thing.
Amen.
Glory to God. Paul says in verse 13, again, he says, brother, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, glory to God, forgetting those things which are behind me. Don't you let nothing hold you back. Forgetting those things which are behind me, and I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And then he says in 14, he says, I press toward the goal, toward the mark for the prize of the high call or inward call of God in Christ Jesus. And then he says something that I'm so grateful for, because I've said this all the time, that as you grow older, you ought to grow. I'm going to say that again. Wherever you started believing in Jesus, as you grow, you ought to be growing in your faith and in your walk with God. Ain't no need in being 60 years old and you've been with the Lord for 30 years and you still worrying about the same stuff. That ain't no growth, beloved. I could have said something right there, but the Lord said, no, let settle in a little bit. Let it settle in a little bit. And so second thing, Paul says in verse 15, he says, therefore, let us, now he's talking about believers. He says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature. So that means some of us ain't mature yet. He said, as many. I hope you in the as many. He said that as many as are mature. He said, have this mind. I want you to get this. He says, because the mind that we ought to have is the press, good God Almighty, is the pressing mind. The mind that we ought to have is the I haven't apprehended it mind. The mind that we ought to have is I'm forgetting those things which are behind me mind, and I'm reaching forward to the things which are ahead of me mind. Then he says, so if in anything you think otherwise, second thing, stay focused on where God wants to take you. I'm telling you, God, listen, you ain't gone through all you've gone through and not go nowhere. I want to help you understand something. All the trouble that you have faced, all the challenges that you went through in 2018, all the health issues that you have, listen, a lot of times, I believe by faith, a lot of times when those things are happening, they are attention grabbers. All the family challenges you, see what God is trying to do for us or wants to do for us, because unless you're looking in the direction where you're walking, you won't know where you're going. And so I believe what God does, he uses the issues of life, good God Almighty, to be attention grabbers so that it snatches our attention away from the trouble. And now we got to look to the Lord. Amen. I wasn't praying like I was praying, Pastor, until the Lord, my health got bad. I wasn't talking to God the way I'm talking to him now until my finances was troubled. And I'm telling you, we so often are putting the blame on the enemy of God. And the reality is that God is saying, I'm permitting this because I'm taking you somewhere. And right now you ain't looking in my direction. And in order to get you to where I want, God Almighty, in order to get you to where I want you to be, you at least got to look at me so that when you look at me, I can say, hey, over this way. You're going the wrong way. I don't know. You've ever been driving somewhere and you recognize that something look odd the way I'm driving and I'm really driving up a one-way street the opposite direction. Then why are these cars driving in my, and this ain't, I thought it was a two-way street. Turn to somebody and say, no, it's one way. God don't have two and three ways. No. Turn to somebody and say, this ain't no two-way street. No. No, no. God got one way. Ain't no plan B. Ain't no plan C. Ain't no plan D. The reality is you've got to get on plan A because God has not only not changed the direction and the trajectory of where he's taking you and I, he has also not changed his mind.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Your troubles have not hindered God. Your health issue haven't hindered God. Your family challenge, that ain't hindered God. See, because it is in the darkest hour that we got to have the clearest sight. See, we got to put on the windshield wipers when it rains. Why do we put the windshield wipers on our car? Why? So that we can see better. And so some things, beloved, you got to put the windshield wipers on. It's raining right now. Turn the windshield wipers of the Holy Spirit on and clear that way out so you can see what God wants to do in your life. Because I'm telling you, God is never standing still. God is always moving. But our biggest problem is we're either moving ahead of God or God has already moved and we're moving behind God. The goal this year is when you see God step, you step. When you see God move, you move. Don't you stand there and then try to figure it all out and say, well, Lord, I don't understand it. No, lean not to your own understanding. When God say, hey, I'm going this way. Okay, Lord. Okay, when God say, hey, you're going the wrong way. Turn around. Turn around and go in the direction that God. Listen, worry is a distraction. Because worry wants you to take your way over God's way. See, fear is a distraction because anything that gets your flesh to move is cause of a distraction in your life. God don't care nothing about your flesh moving. He wants to move your spirit. If he moves you in your spirit and you trust in the direction of the Holy Spirit, then your flesh will move with God.
See?
We so busy not listening to the Lord. And so when the Holy Spirit said, hey, wake up. You're going the wrong way. We say, oh, no, let me see. Let me see how this thing works out. You know, I'm going to just see. And if it don't work out, then I'm going to come right back to you. Now, God is trying to get your attention. And this year to say, listen, when you see detour, when you see don't trespass, when you see don't go that way, stop arguing and fighting with yourself. And turn your crazy self around and go in the direction that God wants you to go in because God is taking you somewhere.
Yes, he is.
And I'm telling you right now, don't you let nobody, don't you let no thing, don't you let no job, don't you let no money hold you back from moving in the direction where God wants you to move. Because the truth of the matter is, anything that is holding you down has the power over you. And some of us, God has opened up the cage years ago, but we've gotten so used to being in prison that we stay right in the cage. Say, no, y'all go ahead. I'm going to be all right. And God is saying, this year, come out of it. He's saying, come out of it. He's saying, I'm taking you somewhere. He's saying, I'm taking you somewhere. God wants you to know that to all of us that he has in store, that all that he has in store for you and I, what he wants to do is he wants to first accomplish his will for us. Now, the Bible says that God will give you the desires of it, of your heart, but giving you the desires of your heart, what God really wants for us is our hearts to be like his heart. And so when he says the desires of your heart, you can't be in desiring something that is not glorifying to God, because God can't give you nothing that ain't going to glorify him.
That's right. Amen.
First.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? Amen. That's why you don't need money to bring glory to God. Because what God wants over our money is us.
Amen.
See, that's why God will permit you and I to go through a difficult situation, because we got too much of us in us. So in order to get the us out of us, God said, I got to take them and them through a difficult, challenging situation to get the to get themselves out of themselves, so that I can pour my spirit in them and they'll operate based on my directing them and not based on how they feel. Oh, my, my, my. God gives. I thank God for Job in the story of Job, because Job understood one thing. Job understood where all his stuff came from. That's why when he lost it, his issue wasn't the stuff that he lost. His issue was, Lord, don't let me lose you. Because he said, naked. Job said it. Naked I came into this world, and when I leave this world, guess what? They are not going to drive your Cadillac into the grave with you and put it and sit you in it and then just leave the keys in your hand, so when you get to heaven, you can drive around heaven in your Cadillac. No, no, no. And anytime you see people doing that, it's crazy. It ain't glorifying to God. Because when you came into this world as a baby, you had zero. And the truth is, when you leave this world, you're going to have zero. I've said it before. Somebody going to wear your clothes. Somebody going to live in your house. Somebody going to drive your car. So don't get mad now, because naked you came in, and naked when you leave, you go. So the truth of the matter is, God is more concerned about your spiritual aptitude and not just your material things that you can get while you're here. Turn to somebody and say, this ain't no game. Yeah, this ain't no game. This the real deal. This the real deal, because God has an expectation for us. And God's expectation for us is to simply do what he said do. I know over that time you made it difficult. He just said do it. Said, you want to be healed? Believe me. Now, when I send you to the doctor, go to the doctor. Because I can use the hand and the wisdom of the doctor to meet your need. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, he said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. You too important. God wants to be important in our lives. He wants to be the primary focus of what is important. God wants to make known to all. And he wants to use you to do it. He wants to make known to all who he is and what he can accomplish in the life of the person who puts their faith in him. He wants to make known to all through you. That's why in Acts chapter 9, Jesus revealed himself to Paul on the road of Damascus. And Paul, who was Saul then, asked him, he says, what will you have me to do? Glory to God. That's what Paul asked Jesus. He didn't say, oh, Lord, bless me with a nice house. He didn't say, oh, Lord, give me this, give me that. He simply looked at the master and said, listen, I know what you want to do with me. So my question to you is, what would you have me to do? This year, I want to encourage us to, when we talk to God, stop asking him for stuff and turn around and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to serve? Lord, what do you want me to do with my money? Lord, what do you want to do with my family? Lord, what do you want to do with my health? I might have to push them pig feet out the way now because God want to do something with me. And I'm going to tell you something. God can't take me where he won't take me if I'm dead. Amen. 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 Turn to somebody and say, the doctor might be right. Jesus revealed himself to Paul. And after he revealed himself to Paul, and Paul saw who he was in the majesty and glory of who he was, Paul asked the question, what do you want me to do? Hallelujah. God is calling us to something great. And I'm telling you, just like the little kid that's sitting in the car and their parents is taking the scenic route to King's Dominion. Yeah, they're excited about getting to King's Dominion because that's where they're going. But their window is rolled down the whole time and they are looking at the scenery while they're going to where their destination is. I'm telling you this morning, don't you lose sight of the destination. But also don't get distracted while you're on your way.
Amen.
Amen. Final word. Glory to God. Final word. Paul's life experience was changed abruptly. But in any event, Paul was focused on what Jesus wanted to do with him. And I'm telling you, Don't forget where you came from. Because that's going to keep you humble to know that you ain't apprehended it yet. But while you're moving toward the destination, don't forget about to take an opportunity to look around and to see where God has you right now and what God is doing with you right now. Because I believe when we do that, that'll stop us complaining. Because we Lord, I want to get to where you're going to take me, Lord. Get me there. Take me there. And what we don't understand, there's some challenges and some difficulties and some hardships and some sorrow that we're going to have to go through while we're going to. I don't know about you, but it ain't always been roses. But I'm going to tell you something. I've learned to appreciate God with thorns all in my hands. Because it's good to, it's a blessing to trust the Lord when everything is all right. Anybody could be focused when everything is overflowing.